Your name?
Alan Asserson.
Alan Asserson, school chancellor Michelle Ree is testifying. You've been here all day long at the DC Council listening to Chief Financial Officer Nat Wargandi testify. And before commenting on that, I wanted you to describe your experiences dealing with DC public schools. You're a parent of a child at Hardy Middle School.
Yes, my son Anders goes to Hardy Middle School, and it's been a pleasure to be a member of the DC public school system as a parent in Ward 3. We have children also at Key Elementary School in Northwest. We've been party to a lot of controversy because of the issues regarding Hardy and also its relation to the Key Elementary. There's been a change in leadership that is proposed by the chancellor to replace the principal Pope with a part-time principal that would be shared between two schools. The community in Key Elementary School and Ward 3 were significantly vocal critics of Principal Pope, and because of that, a lot of people believe that the chancellor has moved to remove that principal in order to get more affluent and professional families to enroll at Hardy Middle School.
Can you situate geographically, demographically, economically, Ward 3? There are 8 wards in the city. Ward 7 and 8 are east of the river. Ward 3 is the kind of northernest, northwesternest, wealthiest, richest ward, and Hardy Middle School is there. Can you talk about some of those factors?
Well, currently, Hardy Middle School is equally represented by almost every ward in the city. In fact, every ward is represented. There are...
Despite the fact that it's located in Ward 3.
That's right. And it's not a magnet school. It has been a school that has special programs, so it is an application school. But the parents are committed to it, and it has really operated in a lot of ways like a neighborhood school. It underwent a $40 million renovation that was completed a couple of years ago. During that time, a lot of the Ward 3 affluent feeder schools, the people who have a right to go to the school under any circumstances, chose not to follow the school towards northeast where it was temporarily located while the construction was taking place. And that process of Ward 3 families starting to repatriate to the school was taking place until this decision by Chancellor Ree. The result of it, of course, has been the opposite that she intended, and that has caused the enrollment to drop literally in half from the in-boundary feeder schools from Ward 3.
Michelle Ree, I've spoken to you over the last couple of days, and at a meeting, did she say, we're going to change the composition of the school?
Yeah, and this is one of the things that is so disturbing to a lot of families that are really close to the decisions that the chancellor has made. She's extremely concerned with test scores, and there this is an evaluative tool for not really the students, not that teachers can effectively kind of look at a individual student's scores and see that they need work in this or that. It is an evaluative tool of whether teachers or principals should be replaced based on performance. And the most predictive issue or factor in terms of student performance is essentially their socioeconomic status. So a lot of people fear that her move to remove the principal and also to really try to attract more affluent families that we should all really want, a better representation of white affluent families in our public schools, is something that Hardy actually had a tremendous success at. It's addressed the achievement gap in ways that no other school in the city has. It has been a tremendous environment for my son. And the end result of what we believe the chancellor's policy is going to be a great performing score-wise middle school, because the performance demographic that you can expect from a much greater proportion of Ward 3 families drawn in is going to make the school, at least on paper statistically, look like a miracle. The problem is that it has really been a miracle already, and it will be much more representative of just the average predictable scores that Ward 3 families could produce.
How would you describe the Washington Post's coverage of this issue? And you've been following education issues for quite a bit now.
Well, I think that a lot of people appreciate the fact that the Post has a significant amount of power in the city in terms of its readership, and that there are people like myself that originally thought that mayoral control and Chancellor Reed were going to bring effective change to the city, in fact, and the city schools. But I believe that it's also important to understand that while we may agree with certain aspects of school reform, we've really seen other aspects of this that seem incredibly politically motivated and not really in the best interests of the children. It's been very popular for Chancellor Reed, including in this testimony today, to essentially charge that anybody who is against her reform policies somehow is putting their adult interest above those of children. But that's really not the case. In fact, most people who actually understand the policies that she's taken place believe that she's changing the demographics of the school, like she said to those Ward 3 families at Key Elementary in a private meeting with parents, that she was going to change the demographic of the school. There's only one way to construe that, and is that the student population at the school was going to be more favorable to those parents, and that's why she said it.
One of the issues today has been the contract, the proposed Washington Teachers Union contract with DCPS, District of Columbia Public Schools, which relies on $64.5 million from private funding, including from the Walton Foundation, which is Walmart money. And this has been a topic today, not least of which because the foundations have a clause in there that if the top leadership, be it Mayor Fenty or Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee, is substantially changed, the foundations can remove their funding. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, if you were the president or a chief executive officer of a corporation or a public institution like our schools, and you negotiated a contract that made yourself an essential part of funding that was also essential to a contract that you were negotiating, and then you did not disclose that information to the public and to, of course, the city council, and that we have to find out about it in an article by Bill Turk that had researched this
in
the Washington Post, and I compliment him for that. We would be looking to fire that CFO or president, because you're essentially politicizing also the election by making Fenty and Rhee essential quantities to essentially a $64.5 million ransom. I think that the fact that this hasn't received adequate scrutiny in terms of the city council just looking towards trying to find out how we can back up this money, as opposed to really questioning the role of private dollars. Now, it should be noted that Walmart and these other three major corporate sponsors of her raise, the monies that they put together to fund the raise and pay, and also the merit bonuses that these teachers will receive, these are companies that have funded only charter schools in the past and have also been anti-union. So now they're involved in a union contract in which they clearly see in Michelle Rhee, who they've tied the contract to, an alignment with their interests and their ideas about anti-union and charter schools and the privatization of the school system. I think this is something that we really need to be careful about.
Lastly, Alan Esarson, I wanted to end. You mentioned that it was Bill Turk's article that had really, and he's done a number of good articles in the Washington Post, but the Washington Post itself has been very much in favor of Michelle Rhee's quote-unquote reforms, it seems like if you mention anything she does, it's reform and it's good, and if you don't like it, it's because you're against progress. And in fact, Bill Turk pointed out that it was the Washington Post editorial board that was really so much in favor of Michelle Rhee that after she had made her comments to the Fast Company magazine about the 266 teachers who were fired in October, that, you know, they had, I got rid of teachers who had hit children, who had sex with children, who missed 78 days of school, end quote. That was Michelle Rhee. And when she came back, there was a firestorm. She didn't talk to Bill Turk. Instead, she went to the editorial board where she's had, they've kind of rolled out the red carpet for her. Turk wrote a blog about this at the Washington Post site, and it was without explanation simply taken down.
Right.
But I wanted you to comment on the Washington Post, and what has not been mentioned is that it owns a company called Kaplan.
Yeah, well, I personally do admire Bill Turk, and I know that he's under pressure. The Kaplan Corporation, or Kaplan Group, is involved in the testing and test preparation, a number of other services involved with higher education. It is by far the fastest growing and largest income producer, revenue producer for the Washington Post companies. And their revenues, I believe this last year in 2009, were $2.6 billion, which really makes the Washington Post, in terms of the paper portion of the business, the poor stepchild of the business. So the editorial board has certainly championed Michelle Rhee and Mayor Fenty. It's unfortunate that this is in this political year, we're in a situation where the real issues of what's critical to our child's education have really taken a back seat to supporting issues that have nothing to do with children but teachers' contracts, in which we haven't been told the true stories. The accounting is either wrong, or the disclosure of financial interests or professional employment tied to the acceptance of Rhee as being your chancellor. These are things that we have to find by the back door, and it's never commented on in a favorable way. In an unfavorable way by the Washington Post editorial board. It's only supportive, and it's becoming embarrassing, actually, to see a paper with the quality and the history of the Washington Post to really be put in the position of defending the indefensible.
Thanks so much, Alan.
Thank you.